Well, now to some news in the world of air travel that you will hear about first on Here and Now. Our transportation analyst Seth Kaplan has learned exclusively about a new low-cost airline in the works. Hi, Seth.
Hi, Jeremy.
And what is this new airline?
Well, for now, it's called Extra Airways. It's actually an existing little charter airline that almost nobody's ever heard of. But the plan is to change that, to take that airline, turn it into, as you said, a low-cost carrier. It'll get a new name. Now, Jeremy, airline ideas come and go all the time. I've seen countless ones over the years. The reason we're talking about this one and looking at it is because of who's involved. Last year, we found out JetBlue's founder was involved in a new airline, so that's clearly one to watch. In this case, it's Andrew Levy, the former chief financial officer of United Airlines, also a co-founder of a very successful Allegiant Airlines. He's, according to investor documents we saw, looking to raise $100 million, and he told me, quote, "We're well on our way and expect to be done relatively quickly."
And is this airline more likely to be like a JetBlue or be a no-frills airline like Spirit?
More Spirit than JetBlue, an ultra-low-cost carrier. So that's what you call those airlines like Spirit, Allegiant, Frontier. This one promises better service and reliability than the incumbents. That's what they're saying. They're also looking to use secondary airports. Not airports like Chicago O'Hare, LAX, and Los Angeles, New York, JFK. Levy told me that even though it'll be an ultra-low-cost carrier, they're not trying to, quote, out Spirit, Spirit, or out Allegiant, Allegiant. It would be something different.
And how soon would this airline fly, and where would it fly to?
As soon as late this year. They plan to have 5 airplanes flying late this year, and as many as 45 if you go out to 2023. So it'll be a sizable airline, although still smaller than most of the others that we've ever heard of. And beyond just saying that, yeah, it'll be those secondary airports, he didn't reveal anything about their network, just sort of saying they're going to stay out of everybody else's way, more or less.
Now, you're talking about a couple of new airlines here, but if you look at the big picture, this is still going to be a lot fewer airlines than we had before all the mergers that happened many years ago and gave us fewer options. What does this mean for consumers?
Well, I think if you're a consumer, you probably root for an industry that's competitive so that you can get low fares, but not so crazy that you get back to where we were in the middle of last decade, where you had airlines going out of business, where you'd be buying a ticket on an airline and wondering whether it was going to be around by time it flew. You know, when something seems, as they say, too good to be true, it often can be. So right now, fares are low in historic terms, but Extra feels, you know, high enough that it can get under, charge a little less, and still make a living. And if it can do that, and if it can lower airfares in some markets, but still, you know, leave us with a sustainable industry, airlines that can get through the day, probably a decent mix for consumers.
Seth, I am old enough to remember last week when Wow Air went under and stranded all the passengers all over the place. Why would anybody want to start a low-cost carrier when one of them that was, you know, doing pretty well, it seemed like, just went bust?
Yeah, talk about too good to be true, right? I guess it turns out $99 airfares to Europe weren't sustainable. In WOW's case, I mean, look, it has to deal with the same things that had to deal with the same things that all the other airlines have to deal with, all the challenges in the world and fuel prices and all the rest of it. But it started crossing oceans with that low-cost model. And it went out and bought what you call twin-aisle or wide-body jets that hold, you know, hundreds of people and can fly really long distances. And that low-cost model gets into trouble once you start doing all that. If you think about the airlines that have been most successful with it, starting with Southwest all those decades ago, still doing well, it never really tried to do those things.
Okay, well, we will link people to more about this new airline that you have exclusively told us about today at hereandnow.org. While we have you, though, Seth, I want to just talk about trains for a minute, because British billionaire Richard Branson, the founder of Virgin Atlantic Airways, is going to be in Miami later this week to launch what will be called Virgin Trains USA. Tell us about that.
Yeah, we talked a minute about an existing airline becoming something new. In this case, it's an existing rail line becoming something new. It's called Brightline right now. Kind of interesting. A private rail line, you know, most passenger rail in this country is Amtrak, generally subsidized. This is private. It runs right now from Miami to Fort Lauderdale to West Palm Beach, limited stops, plans to take it up to Orlando. And yeah, now the Virgin Group has gotten involved and is trying to raise more money too, rebranding the thing. And they want to get into the same kind of business elsewhere, you know, maybe a train from Los Angeles to Las Vegas, for example.
Well, but we've done some reporting on Brightline in Florida, and they've had a really hard time convincing people in Florida to change their habits, stop driving, and start taking the train. Why will Virgin make any difference?
No, you're right. Ridership is not what you'd hope. And, you know, on one hand, they sort of got the distance right in terms of where trains can work. If you think about the Northeast Corridor in the U.S., for example, Washington to Philadelphia, New York, Boston. So the distances between those cities in Florida are kind of similar to that. The difference, and this is what they'll have to overcome, is that in the Northeast, the idea of city center to city center matters a lot. There are a whole lot of people living near, you know, Penn Station in Midtown Manhattan, for example. Florida, those are more sprawling areas, also corporate traffic.
Right.
You know, you want those people willing to pay a lot and who are generally traveling alone.
Right.
When you start getting into families splitting gas and tolls and all that, the economics change.
Seth Kaplan, here now, transportation analyst. Thank you.
Thank you, Jeremy.